Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Aerosmith bringing us back. Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, the one and only. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member. 15 years he's been bringing us his Small Business Index Index of Small Business Optimism, the NFIB Index, and he's been working on and producing. It's the gold standard in the world for small business sentiment. Bill, small business owners are not hiring, are they?
No, they're not, which is unfortunate. So we saw.
Why would they when the government is beating up on them to pay? For the government to decide how much we pay our employees,
right? Hillary's.
Why wouldn't we buy more kiosks and hire a few people?
Right, exactly. I mean, you have to do that. You know, they're going to continue to tell us what wages we pay and also what benefits we have to add. We have to add, you know, sick leave and family leave, and I mean, they tell us what to do, and then complain that we don't hire many people. So they go out there and raise the cost of hiring a worker.
Yep.
And then complain that we don't hire them.
Bill, not only tell us to pay more, but to call us names if we don't.
Exactly.
You know, if we're not paying that, what the government thinks we should, we're some kind of a lowlife or something.
Yep. Yeah, we hate people. We hate workers.
You know, we polled our audience about the minimum wage, Bill, and what's been interesting to me in the last few years is how small business owners don't really care about the minimum wage anymore because, number one, we're already probably paying everybody more than minimum wage. Number two, we figured out a way around it with technology.
Well, that's it. You go around it, and you also, so you know, and it is true that, of course, a lot of people are paying more than the minimum. I mean, people don't stay at the minimum. It's how where we screen people and train people at the minimum wage. And then, of course, if they're any good, if you worked hard, you get a raise. I mean, so you go off of the minimum. But it is true, though, that when we raise the real damage of the minimum wage is that it prevents the first job. So the
right.
more expensive you make it to hire a new young worker, an unskilled worker, then the less likely they are to ever have a chance to show what they can do. They don't even get into the labor force and get the training. And that goes on forever. So if we got a $15 minimum, that means forever into the future, you have to be worth at least $15 an hour or you don't even get the first job, mm-hmm. and that's what's going to be damaging.
And you know, Bill, the really hateful part about the minimum wage debate, the argument, the proponents, is that they're claiming to help people when the truth is, I mean, this is documented, the research is in, there's no more, the jury is in, there's the indictment has been made. The raising minimum wage hurts more people than it helps. And so what does that mean? Why are these proponents still doing that? Because it's a political football, it's a political wedge they can use to drive between themselves and their opponents.
Yeah, well, it sounds good to people who don't think it through, and
that's right.
Of course,
that's exactly
the old uninformed voter. Well, just to put it in perspective, you know, we saw, you know, the AP was talking about our last job number. It was 223,000, which
right.
I didn't think was very good. But so the AP reported, it says, well, over the past 3 months, hiring has averaged 221,000. And they said that's a robust 221,000. Well, that's 600,000, you know, basically in a quarter, right? You know what in 1983, the economy, the labor force is 40% smaller, but we averaged 690,000 jobs a quarter in 1983.
Wow.
In this recovery, we've averaged 349,000 per quarter.
Yeah.
And the labor force is 40% larger. So, I mean, it's like there's just been no job creation relative mm-hmm. to the number of 16-year-olds available or the number of people who make themselves available, the labor force.
And yet, as you've reported, millions of openings are going wanting.
Yep. there are a lot of openings out there, and people, you know, of course, with food stamps and all the other, you know, there are a lot of states where
food stamps are up like 40%.
Yeah, the minimum wage pays less than welfare. So, I mean, you know, people unfortunately don't have the motivation and don't see that they need to invest in themselves, get a job, learn skills. You know, they think, oh, well, you know, this year I can live off of welfare, so I will.
Inventory and sales, not so good either.
No, that also didn't go so well. We had inventory plans, of course, falling. But again, you know, you saw the retail sales numbers yesterday, right?
They were really
down big in June. And apparently yesterday's attempt by a couple of big retailers to bring a lot of sales in with the Christmas in the middle of the year didn't work. So apparently that kind of fell off. Mm-hmm. So consumers aren't spending. They are spending the gas pump money because they don't think it's going to last. And they're probably right. I think the gas prices will go up. And so they've saved most of it, paid down debt, sensible things to do, but it doesn't grow the economy very quickly. They just don't have enough confidence in the future to incur more debt, so they don't. And so spending is depressed.
When you listen to President Obama, do you ever get the idea that he has the least bit of concern about the economy, or he's more concerned with another social engineering project?
Yeah, well, he doesn't talk much about the economy.
He doesn't, does he?
When the jobs number came out, he did come out and tout it, but of course, the numbers I gave you showed you how poor the job numbers have been, especially relative to the size of the available workforce. So he touts that, but he's really worried about
his
views him, right? Yeah. So he's busy on, you know, making these deals and, you know, getting into Cuba and doing Iran and getting
meanwhile America's languishing. Quick break, right back with Bill Duckenberg. More on this on the NFIB Index of Small Business Optimism after these messages. 10-10.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.